Writing and publishing were once all authors or editors ever concerned themselves about. In 2015, though, the new worry is over reading. With all the books now written and published, are readers an endangered species? Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Journalist and conference organizer Porter Anderson is urging his book industry colleagues to face up to the wall of content in order to find a way over it together. The digital curator of thefuturebook.net is now also program director for Author Day, a new single-day session coming to London on November 30th, ahead of the 5th annual Future Book Conference, convening on December 4th. Author Day discussions on the state of the author and panels asking, what can we do, will generate a consensus statement meant to focus Future Book attendees on the dilemma of digital authorship. Porter Anderson is also a man of many tweets, 139,000 in fact, and he leads the weekly Friday hashtag Future Chat Twitter conversation. Porter Anderson joins me now from Tampa, Florida, and welcome to Beyond the Book, Porter.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. You know, I was feeling fine until you mentioned the 139,000 tweets. Now I'm exhausted.
You should be. That's quite a figure, and I follow them. I try to follow as many of them as I can because they're always worth a look. And Porter Anderson, we look forward to chatting with you today. We are going to hear more about both the Author Day single day session as well as this 5th annual Future Book Conference. But I think a way for talking about it is to start with this notion of the wall of content and the dilemma that that presents to authors, to publishers, and to readers.
Yeah. It's something that I've started trying to grapple with, and I'm at the point where I test a lot of different metaphors. I'm also talking the avalanche of content every now and then, you'll hear me say. A lot of this goes back, as a matter of fact, in my own memory, just to a personal moment that now seems relevant. When my family and I were in Europe once, I was still a teenager, a young teenager, and we were headed to Cherbourg, driving down the docks because we were about to get onto the old Queen Elizabeth, the original Cunard liner. 11 feet longer than the Queen Mary, I always told my friends, because I was very proud of that. And as we were driving down the docks, I looked outside and there was this wall there, and it looked like a badly weathered building. And we were driving and driving. And I finally said, Dad, when are we going to see the ship? And he said, Son, that is the ship. And the damn thing was so big, of course, that I hadn't realized, oh my God, I'm sitting here right beside the thing. I think this is happening to us in publishing. And I think it's as natural as it was for me at that moment not to realize that the thing outside the window is actually the boat. I think that the mass of content that's produced or enabled, I should say, it's not produced by, but it is enabled by the digital dynamic, is catching us by a kind of secret surprise. So focused have we been, and we needed to be, on the procedural, financial, supply chain issues that, of course, digital hits us first in and makes us most aware of, that its ability to produce so much more content, and in fact, its drive as a distributional force to create more content and create more audience to find that content, has gotten past us in a way. And I think that we all need, at this point, as we start getting our traction now, and I think we're doing it in digital to a large degree, I think we've got to stop and say, now, wait a minute, what are we looking at? And what we're really looking at is, how are we going to get over the wall, through the wall, around the wall, and out of the avalanche, if you want to take that metaphor? We need to focus very carefully, I think, on how we can start defining this mass of material that now is between us quite frequently and our consumers, the readers, because it's not coming from the outside necessarily either. It's easy to say, oh, this is video games and this is television and this is film and this is music. And that's true. All of those electronic entertainments and media attractions are right on the same tablets now as our e-books. But it's also just our books left to our own devices. We are producing, we think, between 300,000 and 600,000 self-published titles in the U.S. alone each year. And that may be twice what the trade industry is producing each year. And so we are really going up in magnitude in terms of what's coming out there. How are we to help our readership discover what we need them to discover, find what they need to find, and have the communication that digital makes possible with such an overwhelmed consumer base?
Well, you know, it reminds me of the line from Pogo, we have met the enemy and he is us. And
that's it.
And so a conference like Author Day and even Future Book is meant to bring together the authors, the editors, the some cases, the business people who care about these issues and really make them confront this challenge. And Author Day particularly is looking at it from the creator's perspective. This is a new conference. And what are the hoped for accomplishments from that conference?
Well, we had several things we were looking at. In terms of Future Book itself, the conference that now is going into its fifth year, 5 days after Author Day, as you mentioned, on December the 4th. And in terms of what the Future Book does, as I guide it and Philip Jones works with me on it from the bookseller, what we're doing is trying to understand what the digital publishing phenomenon is doing. And we looked at Future Book as it came up in its fifth iteration, and we thought, you know, we need more than the conference Future Book is. It is the largest publishing industry conference event of the year already in Europe, and yet we need something that actually can get at a whole nother sector of the digital dynamics effect on us right now, and that is the creative sector, the creative core. We need to come from that core toward the Future Book Conference with new information and with new thoughts, and that's where the idea for Author Day was born. And it is, I love the way you've just described it. Thank you for that, because one of the most important things is, despite the fact that the name is the Author Day, and the name is meant to include and specify the centricity of the author in all of this, we also are very eager to have industry professionals who work with authors right there with us in the room. We don't want this to just be authors. We have a lot of just author events. Nor do we want it, and another point we're adamant about is, nor do we want it to be for self-publishing authors or traditionally publishing authors or the hybrids. We want it for everybody, whatever path of publication they're taking. And what we're looking for in this is a chance to hash out what some of the differences are, what some of the pressure points are, what some of the unhappy elements of the relationships we see sometimes between author and author, let alone between author and publisher. There are truly significant issues to be discussed here in terms of contracts and working conditions for authors and their pay levels. And then what is the dynamic between the independent author today, who is really quite an accomplished figure at this point, and the traditionally publishing author? Why is there tension in that community? Is it something we can get around? Is it something we could help with? Is it something that if we all talk together with, took the emotion out and just said, what are we doing? Could we make some progress and help find some unity here? Many authors now in the business are looking for common ground, as one of our first speakers was writing for us today in Future Chat. Before we had our conversation today, Jane Steen, a very fine English author who's based in Chicago. She's in historical fiction, and she's just making an outright call for common ground. She's saying the authors have got to come together. And to do that, we're bringing in the wonderful Alliance of Independent Authors, which was founded by Orna Ross and is now directed by her, of course. She is going to be our lead speaker and set the state of the author as the independent side sees it. And then Nicola Solomon, a wonderful executive of the Society of Authors in London, is going to come forward and give us the state of the author as the traditional side sees it and get at some of these things, followed by Jane Steen from Chicago with her comments as an independent, followed by Camilla Shamsie, a fascinating author with Bloomsbury, who has been working very carefully with the gender divide that we're seeing so much in parts of the industry. And throughout the day then, we're going through a series of first state of the author understandings. We're hoping to have input that will help us understand, for example, what the curriculum of education now for authors means. And for that, we have Ian Ellard coming in from Faber Academy. We have folks coming in to tell us, like Sarah Barnes, who has become an amazing technologist within the publishing community, to help us understand what the tools of the trade are and why authors aren't using certain things they could have, why they are, where they're needing things from the publishing industry, where they're not getting them. In the afternoon, then, we start looking for what we can do. Maybe one of the most fascinating panels will be the one I call Allied Interest, that brings in such questions as, why do we not recognize translators as we need to? Why do we not recognize illustrators as we need to? One of our greatest speakers I enjoy very much is Jonathan Emmett, who's looking at how picture books are created for children and how boys may not be finding the material they need. And boys are the readers we need. We seem to have such an imbalance right now between male and female readers, and that starts very early. In the Future Book Conference, while we're on that subject, I'll just mention that I'm delighted to have on the panel I'm doing about author Simon Scarrow, the author of wonderful military Roman history. And Simon is so concerned about the fact that the friends of his sons are not reading, that he has had video games created based on his books to help draw these boys in with the gaming that they love and make them understand there's a way to get at this kind of thing called reading and that they might just love it. So in many points, we're trying to push these buttons. The final moment of Author Day that I'm really excited about, I hope I'm excited when it's over, this could be a tricky one, is what I call the closing melee. We're going to go for 90 minutes in which we are all going to talk. I mean, everybody in the room gets a chance. And during the day, we're capturing their posted ideas. If you have an idea in the middle of Author Day, you send us either an email or a tweet. We're going to have a special address and a capture desk. We're getting help from the writing platform is coming in to capture these for us. We'll then display them at the end of the day so we can see our ideas, our concerns, our disagreements, our agreements, and hash it out so that we form a statement that then goes on the following Friday into the Future Book Conference. As far as I know, this kind of thing hasn't been done before, and I'm so grateful to see the kind of response we're getting. People are just signing up right and left. We have the wonderful cooperation of Pan Macmillan is coming in, HarperCollins is coming in, Peters Fraser Dunlop is coming in, the agency that is, all of them are going to be meeting with our authors too, which is quite cool. They get one-on-one meetings during the course of the day to talk about their manuscripts, to pitch something if they'd like, to get some reaction from some of the professionals in the industry. So at the same time that we're working on issues in the core conference room, surrounding it, we're working on very supportive elements that the industry can help our authors with and try to send them out with more than they came with that day. I think it's quite a package, and we're excited about it. I'm sure there'll be some things we'll want to refine for next year, but for a first year, the response tells us we're really in the right direction, and it's very exciting.
Well, it does sound very intriguing, and I particularly like the idea of this conversation that these two events are going to try to have with each other. And looking at some of the background material for the Future Book, there's this so-called digital census that's conducted, and there was a number that really stood out for me. It's the majority of people responding to the survey believe that after all of this time, publishers still remain unprepared for the digital revolution.
Isn't that interesting? Now, that's what Porter calls your wall of content.
That's it. And it's the notion that we're unprepared. And I wonder whether this act of asking authors what they would do is really going to get us through that challenge.
Well, it can to some degree. I mean, I do think that the creative core actually sees things that the industry doesn't, just because they have a completely different take on their readership and on what their role in the process is. However, I don't diminish for a minute, and I don't think a sensible author does either, the wisdom of the industry. One thing we have to remember about publishing is that for all we might like to say that it stumbled around as the digital dynamic hit it, publishing is still with us. It is fine. It is doing very well considering what it's been through. And this is a terribly important thing to hang on to. This is not a sinking ship that we're talking about. However, I do understand, I think, what a lot of our respondents are saying in the digital survey, and that I don't think we've seen the end of this. I think it's too early to shoot up the flares. You know, I just don't think that we're quite at the celebratory moment yet. I think we have a long way to go. And I think that some of the more insidious effects that are coming involve this wall of content, involve the fact that we are now able to produce so much, and so we're doing it because we can. Did we realize that? Did we mean to? How do we handle it? What do we do? And I think a lot of what we're going to be talking about at the Future Book itself then on the 4th of December is just that kind of question. What are we looking at? It's quite a great day. In this case, my colleague Philip Jones, the editor at the bookseller is the lead on programming, and he's done an amazing job. I mean, we have fascinating keynotes coming in at the beginning, which are just terrific. One from Susan Jurovics, who is, of course, handling Pottermore now in such a fascinating way. And the nice thing is there's a bookend effect to that. At the end of the day, we hear from Charlie Redmayne from HarperCollins. And, of course, Charlie created Pottermore with J.K. Rowling in its original evocation. Susan now has taken it to such a fabulous-looking site. I don't know if you've been there yet to see the new iteration of Pottermore, but mm-hmm. you won't know you're in the same place. It's yeah. just gorgeous. I mean, talk about changing with the times and moving forward. This is a fascinating case study. We also have Stephen Page, one of my favorite people in London from Faber, because of all the independents, this has been the one that has gone through so much and yet really, really held to it and moved forward and kept testing the outer bounds. And then Annette Thomas, of all things, how good. The chief scientific officer coming in from Mellon Science and Education. She is such a forward thinker and such a great voice that I don't think we've heard enough from. So our keynote groups is wonderful. Sandy Mayhall is our terrific chair for the entire day. And I think that she's going to bring one of the things that someone said. Oh, I know. It was Jürgen Buse in Singapore when I was just...
Jürgen Buse, who's the director of the Frankfurt Book Fair.
Very well done. Thank you so much there, Chris. Exactly. That's who I'm talking about. And Jürgen was standing there as we opened at the Singapore Publishing Symposium. And he said, you know, sometimes we forget because we're so concerned about the finances and the business and the technicalities of the business. We forget the literature. We forget to think about how important the work is and what we're telling our fellow citizens and our friends and our families through this amazing art. I think Sandy has such a hand on that. I think she understands and remembers better than some of us do at many points what we were there for in the first place. And it was the books. It still is the books. We've got to hang on to that because we are an industry about an art. And boy, is that hard to hold on to when everything's going crazy around you. The digital dynamic is such a... I went through it as I know you did to some degree too, Chris, in the news industry when it hit. And our version of what has happened was the day we all stood at the time. I guess the biggest brunt of it, I was at CNN, and we stood in one of our newsrooms there and started hearing things about citizen journalists walking in and, you know, laughing, going, ah, well, they'll never take over anything that our great camera crews could do. Well, of course they did. I mean, now a citizen journalist with a shaky cell phone can videotape something we're nowhere near. And the entire industry has changed because digital has changed both the substance and the distribution of what news represents in the world. This is what we're going through as a publishing community. And to get a handle on that and understand where we are is not easy. I think we need to be patient with ourselves and give ourselves some props for having gotten this far as well as we have and examining it as we're going to do at Future Book. That's how I like to think about that conference every year, and I think this year more than ever. It's an examination. What Philip puts out in the panels that he puts together and the ways he brings people together, both from outside and inside the industry, are ways of examining what we're thinking, how we're feeling, where we've been, where we've come from, and especially at the five-year point. It's a marvelous moment to do that. I had a chance to interview Jane Friedman, who's done so much with Open Road Media. Such a trailblazer. I mean, this, as she said to me, I am the quintessential publishing person. And she is also probably the advanced woman. I mean, just out there before anybody was, able to understand backlist and its value, let alone digital backlist, right? She started audiobooks for the industry. I mean, this was the woman who actually started understanding, we can do something with this. If Barnes & Noble will give me, as she says, one book, one shelf at the back of the store, I can put up audiobooks and make people actually come into that world, which now is booming, of course, she had that right, and she understood backlist in audiobooks, which was something nobody thought was going to make sense. She calls it her canon, not the canon, which I love very much because, again, like Sandy, she has this connection to the material that's never far from her. Even on an email from Jane, you get a little message at the bottom saying, this is what I'm reading now, and it's fascinating because she hasn't lost touch with the reading and with the literature. And she's an amazing soul, and she's going to be with us. Hasn't spoken much in London. This is actually quite an unusual event to have Jane with us in London. So many fine people are coming in. It's really going to be quite an experience, and I hope you can join us. Will you be there with us, Chris?
Well, I'm afraid I won't be, but it does sound like a very thoughtful program, and you know that thought that you articulated that this is an industry about an art. I'm going to go out there and tweet that right now, and maybe if I'm lucky, Porter Anderson will retweet it to all of his 12,000 followers.
Gosh, of course. With pleasure. With right. pleasure. Well, you know, one of the coolest things we've got, we have awards. I don't know if you're aware of this, that are part of the Future Book program every year. And we've opened up the most fascinating new series of awards called Book Tech, because it's just time. There is such a thing as tech for books and tech about books and ways that technology is approaching books now. We have 8 shortlisted companies that are going to actually vie on stage for this award, pitching their wares, if you will, and what their missions are to our judges. Fascinating group. And so one of the things I'm running now at the Future Book section every week from journalist Molly Flatt is a terrific interview with the people behind each of these 8 shortlisted book tech companies. This is the kind of thing we try to do with the Future Book. We want to recognize ahead that something as valuable as book tech really does need its own pedestal, and try to help the people who are working in it get out there. And with good luck and with the support of the Author Day program before it, I think we're going to come into Future Book with a great deal of forward motion and momentum and understanding, and help us get some perspective.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about it, and we appreciate the chance to get a preview of both Author Day and Future Book with Porter Anderson. Porter Anderson, thank you for joining us today on Beyond the Book.
Thank you, Chris. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.